The RHAP Best of 2017 special is coming right up. But first, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, those are friends over at TrueCar. Because if you're looking to start off the new year by buying a car, you might be familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you pay for the car that you want, including the fees and accessories before you get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you what the true price is on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? That's because True Car shows what other people paid for the same car that you want, and your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who spent 2017 hours making podcasts this year. Probably an underestimate. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our closeout 2017 special. This is a podcast. I try to spend a lot of time during the year thinking about what is going to make the cut. I always say, oh, next year we're going to do a better job of cataloging stuff all through the year. We never do. I end up spending many, many hours during the last week of the year going through all this stuff. This year I did get a lot of help from you guys. I started even a couple of weeks back asking for your favorite moments. People always tend to remember stuff more from the second half of the year, but it is going to be a fun show today. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about. We're going to go through the year calendar-wise. Last year, I ended up doing a top 10 countdown in terms of the funniest moments of the year. I mean, I think we're going to be very focused on what was funny this year, but rather than do it in terms of the top 10 list, we can do it in terms of going through the course of 2017. That's how we'll go through it today. Been a long week here at my house since we really last got into everything right after the Survivor finale. Basically, every single member of my family has gotten sick and then has gotten sick with a second thing. So it hasn't been the happiest of holidays over here. Everybody, there was a stomach bug that was going through my house, and then the stomach bug, I don't know if it changed or if a second bug got in. And so now there's a flu and now everybody's getting sick with that. So it has not been a super relaxing last couple of days. So looking forward to that passing and also looking forward to getting into everything coming up after we ring in the new year. The Amazing Race 30 premieres next week, so be sure to look for our coverage of that coming up. But what a year on the podcast 2017 was. Really so many shows that we did over the course of the year. So many different things that we got into, and so we'll take a look into everything. We also had our 2000th episode of Rob Has a Podcast back in June. If anybody wants to take a listen to that, for any new listeners that were not listening back in June or might have missed it over the course of the summer, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/RHAP2K for that. I tried not to overlap too much with that as well. All right, so let's get into our walk through 2017 here on Rob Has a Podcast. I use the word best to describe best of, and again, really, it's probably just the craziest, most off the wall stuff from 2017. We did a lot of really great interviews that I'm so proud of. I could easily have posted clips from all the different survivors that I talked to. Like, for instance, the Adam Klein interview that I did right in the beginning of 2017 easily could have been in here. I use that in the 2000 episode special. I ended up just going for the comedy here. So that's what you're going to hear as we go through the year of 2017. I'm going to try to come in and out of the clips with some of the sounds associated with the shows in particular. So I'm going to go into the archives for that as well. This was a year where Survivor ended up starting really late in the year. I think that Survivor didn't end up starting until March 8th when we got into Game Changers. But because Survivor wasn't starting until later, CBS was trying out a new reality show. And that show was called Hunted, which I covered with the Tabulator, Kurt Clark, and the great Liana Boris. And we did our weekly recap of Hunted. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of requests for different moments from Hunted. A lot of people asked for the Mary Scott Valentine clip. I believe I played that in the RHAP 2K. So this is going to be a different moment from Hunted that you're about to hear. This comes to us from the second episode overall of Hunted, which Hunted premiered on a Sunday night. And then there was another episode then right after that on the Wednesday. And I think that the Wednesday episode might have been 2 hours. But over the course of that 2 hour episode, we realized, oh, no, we love this show. The first episode was kind of a train wreck. But the second episode, there was a lot of crazy stuff that was going on. And in this clip, you're going to hear about a particular injury that someone was suffering from on the run from the Hunters. I'm going to give the credit to Paul Borges for this because he's the person that found the time code in the episode back in the episode 2 recap of Hunted from January 25th, 2017. That Troy and Shelley are really doing a good job of evading capture for a while. But things all start to go downhill as a series of physical ailments begin to befall Shelley. And she's complaining quite a bit about the conditions and how bad it is out there. But Liana, as our medical correspondent on the team, again, in the mission control of this podcast, can you talk to us a little bit about one of the injuries that Shelley is suffering from? I have a clip from the episode. This is one of the problems that Shelley has.
I don't know if Troy's sore, but my legs are sore. My arms are sore. My trapezoids are sore.
Oh, boy. Sore trapezoids.
Oh, Liana. Not your trapezoids. That's you know, I've taken anatomy, I've dissected human cadavers, and those trapezoids really get you.
Yeah.
It's an early indicator of parallelogramitis, I think, actually.
Yeah. The geometry ailments really, really hit you. It's a whole category.
Yeah. Did you feel like that ailment that she might have been too far polygon? Oh, God. After the bad trapezoids, what do you do for a bad trapezoid?
Oh my God.
Yeah, you just got to square your problems away, I guess. I don't know.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true? Yeah.
If you get trying to triangulate the symptoms, I've got nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think with the problem with the trapezoids is that, you know, you could be out of alignment on both sides. That's really a big problem for your when your trapezoids go. That's it.
Well, you just want everything parallel. When everything starts to go perpendicular, that's when it gets out of hand.
I don't know if Troy's sore, but my legs are sore. My arms are sore. My trapezoids are sore.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it for you. Bad trap. Such a great night for Hunted. We also had in that same episode the moment where they ran into the person who wanted the phone, who asked.
You ain't never seen that movie Deliverance, have you?
So really fun night. The next week was going to be the Mary Scott Valentine episode. So we had a lot of fun recapping Hunted, which sadly has not come back to the CBS schedule at this time. The other thing that was going on back before Survivor started in the winter of 2018 was the new Celebrity Apprentice hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I really enjoyed doing those podcasts with Mike Bloom and Megan Z. We had a lot of fun recapping everything that was going on there. But my favorite moment from that season has to do with the night that we sent the Celebrity Apprentice team to go and work for the LA Clippers. There was a lot of great moments from that episode, but I have to bring it back to talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his pitch for a new brand of protein powder,
where he decided to go after his favorite whipping boy, Patrick Schwarzenegger. That took place on January 30th, 2017.
Fresh and fair!
And it wasn't just the parable of this woman who with the cottage cheese thighs that took a lot of abuse.
That's my favorite Stieg Larsson book, by the way, the woman with the cottage cheese thighs.
Arnold went back to his favorite whipping boy, Patrick Schwarzenegger, to talk about whether of the two of them, who should be the spokesperson for some new protein powder.
If I go and sell protein powder with him together, I wouldn't send him out there to sell protein powder in Muscle Beach. I would sell it.
Yeah, who has,
I would go out there and say, I'm taking 250 grams of protein a day, and this is how I get it. Not from steaks, because you could eat, you know, 10 steaks a day and you couldn't get it, but I get it from this special protein powder, concentrated, 80% protein, no fat in it. I take that and pow, my muscles pop.
Yes. Yeah.
So then people say, oh, I'm going to get this protein. They get excited. They wouldn't get excited if he said, no matter how good he says it, no matter how good his sales pitch is. So that's what I'm saying. Do you even look at Patrick and you see his cottage cheese thighs and has no protein? He could eat 200 packages of Larissa Kitchen and he doesn't even get any protein. His muscles don't pop.
I also love how it also kind of turned into a pseudo commercial for protein powder, because he just starts listing off stats as if he had this script prepared in his head at any point in time to sell protein powder.
Because you could eat, you know, 10 steaks a day and you couldn't get it, but I get it from this special protein powder, concentrated, 80% protein, no fat in it. I think that, pow, my muscles pop.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally see, like, a Chiron pop-up of, like, the QVC, like, price and quantity left as Arnold is giving that speech.
Hey guys, don't worry. I looked it up. Arnold Schwarzenegger does have his own protein powder.
Oh, how many grams of protein?
To be determined.
More importantly, how many grams of fat?
You know, you could be like Brooke Burke, and you could go out and eat all the bacon cheeseburger, and you get a protein, but then you get lots of grams of fat also. You get cottage cheese thighs, like Boy George used to have.
The only problem with the packaging is there's a lot of tape involved. It'll take at least a minute and a half to unpack the protein powder, but it'll be worth it.
It's, you get part of the workout. We put lots of tape on it, like Ricky Williams came in and taped up all your shirt. You'll spend the whole afternoon trying to rip the tape off.
There's nothing inside the bottle.
And there's nothing inside it.
It's called Tape Into Shape. It's my newest workout plan.
It's an excellent price point. Lisa Gibbons says it's even perfect.
It's a roll of masking tape, $2, $2.99. Takes a month to ship.
The market.
In the marketplace, we're going to dominate. I'll have even more money than Patrick Schwarzenegger soon. He gets no allowance.
Patrick, you did not clean. You didn't clean the rumpus room. No $1 billion for you.
Fresh and fair.
Lots of fun stuff from the Celebrity Apprentice, which I don't think we'll be podcasting again anytime soon. But that will take us into the Survivor season. And by March, we were getting ready for Survivor Game Changers. Such high expectations. We did so many preseason podcasts, and then it started with a bang. We lost Sierra and Tony back to back. In the first night, we gathered together in New York City on March 22nd for the third week of Survivor Game Changers. It was a year where I went all over the country doing the podcast. We were in New York, we were in Toronto, we were in Austin, Texas, Reno, Nevada, Utah. We went all over the place, but it all started back in New York City for a night that no one there will soon forget, because it was probably the craziest tribal council that there ever was through 34 seasons of Survivor. That was the night we had the combined tribal council where Malcolm Freeburg ultimately went home. And what I'd like to do is give you a play-by-play of what it was like in the room that night, courtesy of the video from Josh Wiggler's Twitter feed. So here we go. Here is what's going on. Here is where everybody's lined up. We're counting the votes. The idol was played for Sierra. Mike Bloom says to Jordan Parhar, I think it's going to be Sandra. Sierra votes are not counting. Everybody's on pins and needles. All eyes are on the TV. The first Malcolm vote. Mike Bloom is nodding approvingly back and forth. Jordan Parhar's head is in his hands. Another Malcolm vote. Mike Bloom is declapping you here. Mike Bloom clapping and laughing, pointing at the TV. Patting Jordan Parhar on the back. He's nodding yes. And that's what it was like to live through that crazy night in that room. And Stephen Fishback and I had to go on and do a show right after that at Caroline's on Broadway that night of March 22nd. And we had a great moment in that podcast where Survivor winner Sophie Clark showed up. And as she always does, had a great moment in that episode. Let's go to, it's about 35, 40 minutes into that episode where we got over our initial shock and we started talking about some people that Sophie knew from the season. And we ask Sophie about whether or not she's rooting for Ozzy in that season. And she's got a real zinger for Fishback.
And I'm pissed.
How good is Ozzy, Sophie? Isn't Ozzy looking great?
Ozzy's looking great. I have to say that Ozzy, though, makes me feel bad when I watch the episode, especially when Andrew was like, wow. Or was it Andrew? It was like, wow, this is so great playing with like a real survivor. It's so much easier. And like I've been telling everybody how hard Survivor is. And I realized like I probably could not go back.
If Ozzy wasn't there?
No.
Yeah. Are you rooting for Ozzy?
I am rooting for Ozzy. I mean, I'm...
yeah. I mean, Ozzy voted for you to win, right?
Ozzy voted for me to win.
Okay.
Cochran did not. No hard feelings. I mean, I'd love... I think he'd be like a come-from-behind victory at this point, given how poorly he's shown in the last three outings.
Yeah.
Come on. Ozzy has been closer more times than anybody else.
Okay, only you would value that.
Because I know that, you know, there's a lot of randomness that goes into winning and a lot of skill that goes into being second.
And I'm pissed!
We had some really great episodes for all of the live shows that we did this season, but that I think is probably always going to be the top one. I don't know how we're ever going to get a better or crazier episode than that one, especially for a pre-merge episode. I don't think that they get more insane than that was. Okay, so Survivor Game Changers would continue on. A lot of different things happening in that season. I had the opportunity to get Bryce Isaiah back on the podcast on April 27th. He did not do a podcast during Millennials versus Gen X. He needed a season away from Survivor, but he came back and he was great talking about what was going on in the season and whether or not Survivor had started to add too many advantages into the game. Here is my conversation with Bryce Isaiah talking about that subject from April 27th.
Click, 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 click. Nice.
Let me ask you this question that a lot of the Survivor fans are talking about. This is from Podrick Racer.
Hey, Robin, Bryce. Podcast Racer here. Do you think there are too many advantages in the game right now? Are we headed towards an advantage Armageddon? An advantage Mageddon, if you will? Could we end up with a tribal where nobody gets voted out on the first round because all the votes are canceled one way or another.
Well, that's a great point. And if you peeped on, I forget what episode it was, Rob said it's no ties. And, I mean, Rob, Jeffrey said it's no ties. So they would then have to draw Rob. So, and I think that's kind of what the CBSs are producing. But forget about the advantages. Am I like, this is like the most food these participants have ever been like. It's food every episode. Like, are y'all starving out there? I mean, every episode they're getting like loads and loads and loads and loads of food. Forget the advantages. It's about the food, baby.
There's a lot of food right now.
There's a lot of food. It's a, you know how they doing the thing, ISSA. It's a lot of food, and it's a lot of advantages. No, and I think that's a great point, because you got...
What is that, ISSA? Who's doing that?
Oh, my God. It's ISSA. So you know how you per guy, it's A, but you change it to ISSA. So you just say anything, like, you know, when Nicole getting on your nerves, you be like, it's a lot going, like, so that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of idols out there. It's a lot of...
Okay, I'm going to use that.
Going out there. Yes, you got to use that. ISSA.
It's a lot of twit idols and advantages also right now.
I wasn't ready for that.
No. No, nobody was.
Click, 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 click. Nice.
Now, shout out to Felipe Shimon for finding the time code on that. And actually the clip that was before that of Sophie. So thank you so much to Felipe, who had very detailed notes about things that went on in 2017. I had a lot of people who wanted to hear something from my podcast with John Cochran, who was here in the studio on May the 4th. I had done the CBS Facebook Live show on the episode that Sandra got voted out, and he was there. And Cochran, of course, who was a reward in Survivor Game Changers, had not been on the podcast since 2014. So after a 3-year absence, Cochran was back here in the studio, and people wanted to hear his Usher John story from May the 4th. This was requested by Lauren Turek and Colin McGrath and a couple others. Here is Cochran's Usher John.
Spinning green. Like with Albert, for instance, I think he was in a lose situation no matter what he said. He definitely misplayed some of his answers, but I just think he kind of, his delivery, even though what the...
How about this?
Yeah.
I will provide you with all of the final tribal councils. Yeah. I think we could even get you through 33. and then at some point this summer, would you come back and talk about this?
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
I'll even Skype. You don't even have to like schlep all the way out here.
The one thing I will say is like, I do like being in person because I get nervous on phone calls and like Skypes. Because this is an anecdote. You can cut it out. I always order pizza. Mm-hmm. And I ordered pizza from this one place, and they said, I was like stutter on the phone. So they say, hey, what do you want? I said, I'll have a pepperoni pizza. And they say, and what's your phone number? Blah, 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 blah. And then they'll say, and what's your name? Or can we have your name for pickup? And I said, Usher John. And they said, Usher John is your name? Your name's Usher John? And I was too scared to correct them. So then I had to pick up the pizza saying my name was Usher John. Like it said Usher John on the pizza box.
What would Usher John be? Like you work in a church? That might be like a cool persona to take on.
Yeah, that's my badass. Yeah. Bad boy.
Spinning green.
Not sure if Usher John stuck much after the podcast, but by the end of May, we were ready to turn the page from Survivor Game Changers and get into talking about Big Brother 19. Now, if you are out on the Big Brother, a little bit of a trigger warning. We've got Summer and Big Brother and a couple of clips coming up from what was going on during Big Brother 19. So I will post in the show notes time codes if you want to skip ahead, but I highly recommend you check out these clips that are coming up next, because we had great fun, as we always do in the preseason. On the day that the new videos came out, the Big Jeff interviews with the Big Brother 19 castmates, where we had no idea what Big Brother 19 was going to hold, and we were so excited about this brand new cast of Big Brother players. And so on the night of June 19th, 2017, I got a chance to review half of the cast with Brent Wolgamott and Melissa Denny, and we went through one of my favorite lines of questioning in the history of interviews that Big Jeff had for the eventual winner of Big Brother 19, Josh Martinez.
I have so much fun with the Big Jeff interviews that I hope he never stops doing it. He does. We get so much enjoyment out of what, like the art, like, would you rather? And he has some outrageous questions today.
Yeah. Right? The mosquito question.
Yeah. Well, Jeff,
I was like,
really,
yes, you're finally asking the hard hitting questions.
Yeah. Jeff asked perhaps the most absurd question that I've ever heard in my entire life. I believe this was with Josh this morning. He asked this question.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
Brent, there he goes with
relationships. Yeah, he even talked about relationships.
All right, what is your relationship with mosquitoes? Are you gonna have a showmance with the mosquitoes? Are you gonna mingle with mosquitoes?
It felt like Jeff Probst on Survivor when he's literally trying to shoehorn no collar, blue collar, white collar into every sentence that he utters on the show. That's what it felt like watching Big Jeff.
Wait, hold on. Can we just listen to this question again? Because I don't think we've done justice to how
the
absurd
of it.
This question is.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
Melissa, who would rather... Who has it so bad with mosquitoes that they would rather... You know what, Jeff? I think I'd rather just get my ass kicked by one giant mosquito and then be done with it. I think mosquitoes are such a problem. I would rather be physically attacked and have my ass beat by a giant mosquito.
Like, mosquitoes don't really affect my life that much on the day-to-day that, like, I would prefer to fight one.
Yes.
Did you hear that? It wasn't even an either or question. It was like, would you rather do this or would you rather do this or would you rather? Like, there was like a multiple choice thing going on there.
It was so ridiculous.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
Three things.
It's like, I don't know.
Oh, that was great. That was great. And then I mentioned at the top of the show, Jeff kept that he was leaning on this question a lot today.
So do you think you could do me a favor?
Let's
Whatever
go.
Your high school mascot was, why don't you act it out and see if I can guess it?
What is this?
Why? Why?
So effing random. And I couldn't even tell you what my high school mascot was.
You don't remember your high school mascot.
Well, I moved around. So, you know, my dad was a preacher. We lived in a new town every year. So,
Jeff, actually, my high school mascot was the mosquitoes. And frankly, I'm triggered by all your questions. The mascot actually kicked my ass. The giant mosquito came and beat the crap out of me in high school. So, really, this is a very upsetting question all around.
So initially at this point in the podcast, I was going to bring my son Dominic in to talk with me about one of our sponsors, but it did not go as well as it did during the year when I had him on to talk about TrueCar in an ad. A lot of people requested that in the show. I thought it'd be fun to have him on with me to do the next spot. I do have a couple of outtakes of what it was like when I tried to record the spot with him. So first, I asked him the Big Jeff question, and this was what he said.
Would you rather keep your relationship the same with mosquitoes or...
I don't like mosquitoes.
Well, so you don't like them. Would you rather just get beat up by one giant mosquito and then never have to deal with them ever again?
No.
So you want to keep your current relationship with mosquitoes rather than fight one giant mosquito and get beat up?
Okay. I don't want to talk about mosquitoes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, nobody had the audacity to say that to Big Jeff. I don't want to talk about mosquitoes. No, thank you. And then I tried to get him talking about Blue Apron with me, and
Blue Apron is also helping families get together more to eat dinner so they can get together. Do you like when mom and dad eat dinner with you, or you like eating dinner by yourself?
I like eating dinner by myself.
No, you're supposed to like it with your family.
All right.
Dominic. All right, this isn't good. This isn't good screaming into the podcast.
This is the last chance.
Who said Dominic?
I did. All right. That's okay. We're done. Thank you.
All right.
Do you want to try one more time or no?
No.
All right. So I lost the co-host today. So sorry about that. That was the plan, to have Dominic here with me to talk with you about our other sponsor today. And those are our friends over at Blue Apron. Of course, you know that Blue Apron is the leading meal kit delivery service in the U.S. And I know a lot of people want to get the new year started right by eating better, and Blue Apron is here to help. Because for 8 weeks, Blue Apron is teaming with Whole30 to bring you delicious recipes. If you're interested in Whole30, it's a diet that emphasizes whole foods and eliminates sugar, alcohol, grains, legumes, soy, and dairy from their diets. If that's something you're interested in, they've got Whole30 approved recipes like Mexican spiced barramundi with avocado, Takarashi chicken lettuce cups with avocado, and kale and sweet potato salad. It's a great way to kickstart your new year with the Blue Apron Whole30. Blue Apron is great because there is plenty of convenience and variety for whatever your food tastes are. They'll deliver you fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. Dominic may say he liked to eat alone, but he was not saying that when we put together spicy chicken quesadillas for the whole family. Blue Apron has high quality meals. Of course, Blue Apron is flexible, offering you 12 new recipes each week. You can pick out two. Of course, Blue Apron is always delicious. They have a team of professional chefs putting in a lot of care into creating the recipes each week with easy to follow instructions, because you know that my wife with some of these recipes, she's not much of a reader and she's distracted easily, but the Blue Apron card has a lot of nice pictures, very easy to follow in terms of all of the ingredients. You know, that if it's just text, she's going to skip ahead. That, trust me, Blue Apron makes it very easy to follow. Blue Apron has a great offer for our listeners to start off the new year, a $30 value with your first order when you visit blueapron.com/Rob. Check out this week's menu and you'll get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So if you're doing Whole30 here to start off 2017, you won't be eating too many sweets, but that was not the case for us back here on the podcast. Back in the second week of Big Brother on July 9th, Sunday night, a big event on CBS when the reality worlds collided to create a new reality series hosted by Mario Lopez called And on that night, we had a great recap of not only the Sunday night of Big Brother 19, but also the premiere episode of Candy Crush, which featured the eventual runner-up for Big Brother 19, Paul. And there was a lot of discussion about him being on both Big Brother 19 and on Candy Crush. And so myself, Taryn Armstrong, and Matt Hoffman had the opportunity to really explore what was going on and get to the bottom of this big conspiracy. How could Paul be in two places at once, on Candy Crush and in the Big Brother house, sequestered during Big Brother 19 back on July 9th? Shout out to Gregory McBean for the time code on the clip.
And then a lot of confusion in the world tonight, Matt, as Davon and your boy, Paul, ended up competing on a team, which is very confusing because Paul, as we know, is on the current season of Big Brother.
Did he win a reward?
Well, a lot of people, there was a lot of confusion.
Was there really?
Yeah, as to whether or not Paul was, in fact, how did Paul leave the house to go compete on Candy Crush?
The confusion speaks volumes about the audience of these shows, because I don't even know how to answer that question without being maliciously condescending.
I don't get this confusion at all. It seems very obvious to me. Paul, we just saw him in the episode. As soon as the episode ended and he made his nominations, he walked out the door. He went over to the Candy Crush studio lot. He played there. He threw the competition because he's been winning way too many and he needs to lie low.
He would never do that, Taryn. Come on. That's fan fiction. That would never happen.
I should have made that more that part more believable. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Matt, well, here's a lot of people on turning to Facebook are outraged. is from we've collected a number of reactions to this all afternoon about people very upset about this. This is from the CBS Facebook page for Big Brother. How can Paul currently be in the Big Brother house and play this too? That's from Billy
the wizardry
Wayne
of CBS.
Yeah. Ashley Turner, how is he on this show and Candy Crush? How is Candy Crush live if Paul's in the Big Brother house? If this is a false advertisement at its finest.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what? They also advertise this show as fun and exciting. Tisk tisk.
Christos says, so Paul gets to see other people? That's a way to keep him stronger than the others. When will the other house guests get to spend time with other people outside the game? I hope Paul gets evicted. Then I want to see production's faces.
Are these people okay? Who are these people? How did you find it? What hashtag did you say?
Yeah. This is from a user, Christy, who says, oh, so this is why he got that 3-week protection. They wanted to make sure he was available for this show.
I like the conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Even if they're from fools.
Yeah.
I hope everyone else gets to have a consultation with Devon about their Big Brother game.
Yeah.
That only seems fair. Everyone should have the equal disadvantage.
Yeah. And people are upset. Kayla says, I guess this means Paul's out soon, right? You can't be on two shows at once.
These are real. These are all real.
They figured it out, Rob.
Yeah.
Man. Spoiling it for everyone.
How can Paul be on Candy Crush when he's in the Big Brother house? Yeah. Okay. And then this is another user says a nightmare scenario. Oh God, not Frankie effing Grande again. Let me guess, if he wins, he'll be put in the Big Brother house to replace Megan.
Okay.
We were laughing then, but Celebrity Big Brother is right around the corner.
I was here.
We'll see what happens as we approach Celebrity Big Brother coming up in February of 2018. So we had a lot of fun with Big Brother 19, even though it might not have been the greatest season of Big Brother that there ever was. But we tried to make the best of it. And I guess not unlike what I'm doing right now, one of my favorite podcasts of the summer is always the recap of the recap. And there's a couple things that you can bet on every single year when I do this best of that you're probably going to hear from Matt Hoffman, check. And you're probably also going to hear some Eric Stein. And that was the case when it was the recap of the recap. And Eric Stein, and we had an unforgettable night when Derek Lavasser came in and discussed the meaning of another H word, not hero, not healer, not hustler, a fourth mysterious H word. Shout out to Matt Price for finding the time code on this gem from the night of August 18th, 2017.
What were you trying to do? Well, we all know Jessica's gone. And one of her traits was she was good at spelling, right?
Oh, my God.
Although, she didn't always have the best vocabulary. From what I understand, she didn't know the difference between Heisman and another word.
Okay, so, Taryn, at this point, do you have any idea where this is going?
No, I thought they were going to show the fight that they had over spelling.
Right.
And then he's like, her vocabulary, I was like, the halting hex? Like, where is he going with this? It was such a buildup.
I also like how he acts as if, like, this is coming from him personally. Like, he's been, like, waxing poetic about this all summer. You know, I've been chewing it over, and I've been thinking, like, what are you talking about?
As we all know.
Yeah.
Since I've been watching 24/7.
Even stranger is then they air the clip, And forget the fact she doesn't know the words apart. She wasn't using Heisman correctly either.
Hold on. Slow, Eric, we're going to make a meal out of this.
Sorry, I'm blasting right through everything.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do with this is just bust right through it. We got to really be very careful with it. Careful. Okay. So we see it, everybody's in the backyard, and we hear Jessica talk about what's going to happen when she gets the chance to meet Julie Chen.
Julie's going to have to give me the high when I get on the stage, because I'm going to be so happy to see her that I'm just going to hug her.
The Heisman.
Does someone want to take a stab at what she was even trying to express? The word confusion. What was the first point she was making?
Yeah. I believe what she's going for is that Julie Chen was going to have to give her the stiff arm. Like, hey, get away from me. Oh, don't come near me.
I thought she thought she was using it as someone's going to give me the Oscar because I'm going to have such a knockout performance.
No, it wasn't being presented with the trophy.
Makes a lot more sense now.
I'm going to get a stiff arm from you.
I take it all back. In that case, it made complete sense. Yeah.
I think what she was trying to say was the Heimlich, but she ends up saying
the Heimlich.
Yeah.
Why? She's choking and Julie Chen is going to have to come up.
Excitement. Yeah. She inhales her cereal and starts choking to death. Yeah. She's so excited.
Yeah. So, yeah, if she ends up choking, that could be a problem. And so there's some confusion here. And it's not just confusion of the wrong word. It's in that Jessica is not aware of this part of a person's anatomy. And, Cody was really on point with his explanation. when she's asking Cody some questions and Cody has some answers.
I have a part of my body that's called the hymen.
Well, you may not anymore.
Classic Cody.
From firsthand experience, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one.
Yeah, I can vouch. Yeah. Trust me.
Also, did you get the sense also from Cody that I feel like he couldn't, he knew the basic gist, but I don't feel like he could produce a definition either. That's why he's hedging. Oh, go talk to Mark. Go talk to Elena. I don't think he quite had the words for it himself.
Right.
He knew she didn't have it.
Okay, he's like,
I mean, this is a classic, he's trying to be helpful. Wouldn't you do this to any of your girlfriends? Like, oh, you don't understand this very embarrassing word? Go talk to all your friends about it and ask them. That seems like the polite thing to do, right?
Well, she's going to phone a friend. And so we bring
had a situation like this on my season with the vast deference in the fallopian tube. Nah, never happened.
So we bring in Mark to the situation. Mark, do you know what a hymen is?
Do you know what a hymen is?
Hymen, yeah, beer.
The beer.
Who knew there were so many words that you could mistake this HY combination with?
He's like, yeah, that's what I threw in Josh's face, my hymen.
It's in a green bottle. A hymen. All right. Well, let's keep going around the
Is
horn.
Hymen light, then also.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go around the horn. Certainly, maybe Kevin could be the person. Maybe Kevin knows what that is. Kevin?
Can someone just say it? What is it, Kevin?
Heimlich.
No.
Heimlich. See, Kevin knows. Kevin knows best.
He knows. He knows. Wasn't that the abbreviation for that show with Ted Mosby? Wasn't that what they call that hymen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eminem.
Yeah.
I have a part.
part of my body that's called the hymen.
Well, you may not anymore.
All right, well, boy.
Hymen.
This is the first time you've ever been rendered completely speechless on the podcast.
I just don't know where else to go from here.
Honestly, I thought that was a season highlight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you guys first had me on, I thought to myself, oh man, you know, we're going to have a episode where there's no gameplay to talk about, no strategy to talk about. But then I realized that's every episode. So this is actually as good as it gets for us to analyze.
Yeah. No, this is a high point for the season.
What were you trying to do?
Remember the time when we were talking about all the stuff going on with Cody and Jessica?
Cody and Jessica getting ready for a run here on The Amazing Race 30. So everything is really coming full circle as we head into 2018. The recap of the recap. I don't know why it's just like when we get to the worst possible content that we should, like, why are we even doing a podcast about that? For some reason, that always brings out some of the best stuff. Okay. We have a clip now coming to us from another one of our live events. This summer, we went to Salt Lake City, Utah for our second ever RehabCon, where we had News AF episode number 100. And in the weeks leading up to it, we kept talking about things that were going to happen on our live show. And I had said jokingly that, oh, and then Tyson, did you hear that at the live show, Danny was going to eat a ghost pepper in front of the audience? And it just started to take on a life of its own. And eventually, I guess it's like the secret where if you put something out into the universe, eventually it's going to happen. And it certainly did back on August 26th, 2017. Here's Danny versus the Ghost Pepper.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Okay, let me ask you another question. When I bite down on this, is it going to, like, a puff of dust come out of it?
Into your nose?
Like, you know, yeah, into my nose? Because it's very, very dry. Should I dip it in water and rehydrate it or something?
We should have soaked it overnight.
I don't think so.
I think just take a teeny little nibble of the tip.
Just the tip.
Yeah.
I've always heard that's the best way to approach something.
Yeah, wow. So it's not going to be as spicy. He said the heat is going to be on the inside.
You might
of it.
Like it. You'll I probably
never
like
it.
This.
All right. Here we
go. That was a pretty good bite. Yeah, that was like, I'm not yeah. lying. When no, that she was said impressive. Just the tip, I would have done the yeah. teeniest, tiniest nibble. I'll do the nibble on the tip on that one, but not like half the pepper there. Tip.
Look, the problem is in the seeds. That's always the problem, is with the seed.
Are you going back for another bite?
No, but I did get a couple. I'll explain to you. Imagine...
You're next to old Satan with his three-pronged fiery stabber.
It's getting worse. It's definitely getting worse. There is a sensation, a very unpleasant one, that is spreading through my mouth.
I think the podcast people really heard the crunch.
Yes,
also.
As I continue to chew, which I'm now realizing is a huge mistake.
You should have swallowed.
As I'm chewing, the esophagus is closing because the body wants to reject...
Shutting
the
down.
Poison that I've just ingested.
All basic functions shutting down. Bodily functions.
I'd like to report that I've just swallowed the entire mass of seeds, and now it's a problem for my stomach and upper
Do you need intestinal. To be excused?
Not yet.
Are you
it is really burning the right-hand side of my mouth. Like, my tongue is going numb.
Is that true?
What can we yeah. do for you, Danny?
Do you want to get the sugar in your
Danny. Mouth? Pray for Danny. Hashtag pray for Danny.
And you know what the worst part's going to be? Because yeah. it is getting worse and worse and worse by the minute. Is that I don't like sweating in public, but the sweating's going to start very soon.
Yeah, you're going to get under eye sweating, which
yeah,
you know
I can actually feel
left-over.
That. Like, it's a weird place to sweat.
Yeah.
My he did, he yeah. did say it burns twice.
It burns twice.
Oh, no.
So, but not, I mean, on the way out.
Yeah.
Right. I've always assumed that. But it's burning really bad right now, so I don't have time to think about how bad it's going to burn the second time.
Maybe if we put sugar in
there. Open the brown sugar.
Did that work? Is
that turbinado.
It didn't do shit.
Okay. What can we get you? Water?
Milk?
Can you build me a time machine? So I can go back in time and warn myself?
I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Danny Bryson did live after eating the ghost pepper, but on that day, he became a legend as the bravest man in podcasting to go head-to-head with the ghost pepper. Danny continues to podcast, still to this day, with Tyson and myself every week on News AF. Check it out on Tuesdays in your Rob as a Podcast feed. Very fun episode of News AF this week. News AF, there is no off season for News AF. So we're just going to keep on going. Had some very fun stories about the holidays on this week's all new News AF. Let's keep going back to Big Brother one more time. Hang in there, Survivor fans, because if you haven't heard this one, it might be worth it. And this has gone on to probably be the most popular thing I've ever done in my life. I know most people consider me to be a Survivor first broadcaster, but the thing that I've done in 2017 and probably ever that has gained the most traction were my Big Brother 19 interviews from this year. And there was one interview in particular that really went as viral as anything that we do here in the reality TV podcasting space goes. The Big Brother 19 interviews went on to be my most popular YouTube video by far. It's my most downloaded podcast that I've ever done. And I think this also went on to be my most mentioned thing on Twitter that I've ever done. It is my interview with Big Brother legend Queen Raven Walton, and I got a chance to talk to her after her amazing run as the Puppet Master in Big Brother 19, and I had the opportunity to talk to her about her game and her life and much more here back on the night of September 20th, 2017, in the Big Brother backyard, requested by many, many of our listeners. I'll give credit to Lacey Mortensen because she was the first person that I saw who asked for it. But a lot of you wanted to hear my full interview with Raven Walton.
Juju, what you do?
Hey, everybody, we are here with Raven.
Hello.
Raven, first off, how are you?
I am great. It was an awesome finale. Very intense.
Yes.
It's good to be back in the real world. It's a little bit crazy, culture shock, but I'm excited to see what comes after this. So yes. I'm here.
Okay. First, that I know all of the people that listen to the podcast and watch the video, they have a lot of concerns and questions. Could you just give us an update on everything, how you're doing?
Concerns?
Yes.
I'm doing fine. I mean,
because you went through the ringer with, I know about the gastroparesis, but you have the rough knee syndrome, everything from inverted spine this season.
I know. I have a lot wrong with me. I am fine. I deal with it just fine. Adversity makes you better. I mean, yeah, I have rare disease and I have a stomach pacemaker and I have a lot of different things that are wrong with me, but I don't want to keep me down.
I don't use that word. There's nothing wrong with you, Raven.
Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with her. There are things that are not working as they should right now.
Yeah, my body doesn't like work sometimes, and so I deal with it. I just want to be an inspiration to people out there and let them know, like, if I can do this show, the stomach pacemaker, and all these different problems, you can too. Like, don't let anyone say you can't or stop you, because I never thought I would be here, and I'm here, and I enjoyed every moment I'm on that show, and I didn't let anything stop me from competing in my horse.
Did you end up getting arthritis this season also?
Yeah, my knees, they hurt a lot. I have hand problems.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of different problems. But like I said, it is...
But did you quit?
No, I didn't quit. I always...
No?
I tried 110% out there, always.
And you were running the show with Paul.
I was helping run the show with Paul, for sure. I didn't see him voting me out, but until the moment he voted me out, I was pulling strings. I knew everyone's evictions.
Yeah.
Even my own. I knew I was going to be evicted that night. I just had a gut feeling. I helped get Mark out. I helped get Jason out. I acted like I wanted Kevin out. and I got Jason out. Jason said my vote didn't matter. Well, it did, bud.
It mattered.
It mattered.
It mattered.
It mattered.
Okay. Let's talk about your relationship with Matt. Where is that going from here?
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited to see where my relationship with Matthew goes. I'm very excited. We're very close. We bonded on a whole nother level. We will definitely be...
That sounds serious.
I mean, yeah. I think that I definitely met someone... I've won something bigger than the show, I think. Matthew was an awesome man. I don't think a lot of people would give up $500,000 for somebody.
Yeah, he did.
And I can't thank him enough for that. And some people might not respect it, but it was his decision, not mine. I was going to say, let the house decide, but he wanted to take that penalty vote for me, and he felt like I could go further in the game than he could.
Okay. Now, a lot of people have seen a picture of you. Did you ever meet Paul before this season?
I knew this was coming. Yes, I actually met Paul before this season started. He came to Arkansas with his band Strange Faces.
Yes.
And then I went to Vino's to meet him because I was a really big fan. And from that moment we met, we just connected. There was instant friendship. We connected on just how much we've been through in life, our experiences. We understand our mortality, which I love about Paul. He's a very intelligent man.
Yeah.
Especially for his age. And so from the moment we met, it was instant love.
So you had just been to something for his band. Did he remember you from before?
Big time.
Yes.
Big time.
Okay.
Big style.
Okay. Let me ask you some questions from the listeners. Okay. We have people sent in questions for you.
All right.
As well. Okay. This is a question from Carlton Williams. Wants to know, what was your biggest move in the game? As somebody pulling the strings.
My biggest move in the game is nearing the HOH of Decrypt. We were going to throw it to Christmas, but I had to get out Mark, and I did. And so I think that really changed the game, because if I would not have got out Mark, who knows, he might have won HOH, and that could have ended up different. So one of my biggest game moves was defeating Mark in that HOH and helping the house out.
Yeah. Could you tell us about some of the accomplishments that you've talked about between now? You said that you were in Mensa.
No, my mom can. I misspoke here. My mom can be in Mensa.
Yes.
My mom is very intelligent. She went to law school. She didn't get to graduate because she got sick in the middle.
Yeah.
I am very proud to be her daughter, and my mom can join Mensa tomorrow. She's a very intelligent woman, and I am proud to be her daughter.
And she got struck by lightning. This is like an amazing story, Raven.
She did get struck by lightning. She was driving a car. The lightning struck the car, and it went through the steering wheel. Luckily, she had on teeny shoes. So it is a true story. My mom's been through a lot. Way to go, Mom.
And what is her marathon time for running a mile?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know her marathon time, but I know her her mile was like under 6 minutes.
That's
like
good.
It was insane.
That's good.
It's awesome. My mom was an awesome runner, and like I said, she got sick before she could really compete.
Right.
But when she was running, that was her passion. And just like my passion is dancing, her passion was running.
Yeah. Were you happy for Josh tonight as the winner?
I am happy for Josh. Obviously, I wanted Paul to win because that's where my vote lied. But I'm happy for Josh. He went through a lot in that house. And I'm able to separate gameplay from personal. And I mean, if you made it to the end, you did something right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Josh went through a lot in the house. At one point, he wanted to quit. So way to go, Meatball. I am proud of you.
Yeah. Podrick Racer wants to know, what was your favorite flavor of Kool-Aid that Paul made in the house? And was it good?
Oh, it was like a cherry flavor.
Yeah.
It was delicious. Anything Paul makes, honestly, is good. I can see why last season they thought he was like an undercover chef, because he's an amazing cook. Like,
yeah.
Friendship toast.
What about your cooking? Matt said that he likes it more than cereal. I feel like this is getting serious, Raven.
I love to cook. With my disease, sometimes I'm not able to eat like the things I want.
Yeah.
And so I love making people happy, and that's something I can do. And so I loved cooking for the entire house. And that's what I did the whole season, and I love making chicken parmesan, which people probably know.
Yeah. Who are you going to keep in touch with besides Matt after the season?
Oh, definitely Paul. Oh, my gosh. Jillian. Ramsey. I love me some Ramsey. Alex. I love Alex. Might not have loved her in the beginning, but we kind of squashed that, and I love her now. I mean, I'm going to try to keep in contact with as many people as I can, because for me, this was a game.
Yeah.
And you're put in a situation, and I just want to connect with all of them at a different level now.
Okay, and then what do you want to say to all of your fans? I think that when you get out of the house and you see all the support there is for you, I think you're going to be really blown away.
Yeah.
People, I think, had parties along the way. So is there anything you want to say to the listeners?
I just want to thank all my fans for your love and support. I hope I inspire someone out there to try out for the show or try out for anything else or do what you want to do in life. I mean, my whole life, people were like, oh, you can't, you're sick, you blah, blah, blah.
Yes, she can.
You can. I'm here. I never thought I would be here. This is number 3 on my bucket list. Accomplish. Start a bucket list. Do the things you want to do in
what
life.
What are the other things?
I have so many. I want to go to Europe.
What's 2 and 1?
2 and 1. Well, number 1 is to get married when my mom is still alive, because my mom is very sick, and then I want to freeze.
Where's
my
Matt? Where's Matt?
Oh, God.
Matt! Sorry. Okay.
No!
All right.
And then I want to freeze my eggs.
Yeah, that's number 2 on the bucket list?
Yeah, I want to freeze my eggs because that's very important to me. I don't know how long that we're able to do that, and so that's on the bucket list because it's very important to me. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I just would really like to get married while my mom's still alive.
Yeah. Well, just one last game question. Why didn't Paul keep you until the end of the game?
I think Paul didn't keep me to the very end because he realized that I was a good social player. Yeah. I threw a lot of HOHs to him. I had no blood on my hands.
He couldn't have beaten you in the end, probably.
I don't think so. Yeah. And I would have taken him to the end, and unfortunately he didn't take me, but it is what it is. I love him no matter what.
Okay. Raven, you're amazing.
Thank you.
We're blown away. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes.
All right. All the best to you. Best to you and Matt, okay?
Thank you.
Maven forever.
Fake news.
Maven forever. I believe Maven's still together. Who would have known? I wouldn't have guessed it. But I think all the Big Brother couples, all the Big Brother showmances somehow have stuck together in Big Brother 19. Expect the unexpected. That's what they tell you every year. And we always, we get duped. But who knows? All right. So let's start to segue back to Survivor. This is a quick one, but it's one that killed me. A couple of you guys requested this one. Back on September 25th, Corinne Kaplan came by the studio for her brutal Survivor cast assessment. Sometimes I can see where the joke is going ahead of time. Sometimes she throws me a curveball. This is one of the times I did not see this one coming. This is Corinne going into talking about Patrick Bolton on September 25th, 2017.
I feel like it changes.
What? Your hall pass can't change. It's locked in at the date of marriage.
But when you come home to this every day, it's really hard to, like, have
anything else. Isn't she the best, Corinne? Mm-hmm. Isn't she the best?
You did it up, my friend.
Yes.
That is obvious.
Yes.
Okay, shall we get to Patrick Bolton?
Yes.
Patrick is not this is not good. This is not going well for him. He is a small business owner, and I said also a small penis owner. Thank you. Wow.
Rob almost fell down. He is covering his face.
Wow.
I don't think he was
witty jokes I have.
I don't think he was expecting that. This is actually Rob, like, holding his stomach.
Yeah. Hobbies. He lists traveling to new places. And I said, you mean like the other Frito-Lay factory, Chester? He's very Chester the Cheeto.
Now, I'm actually used to people calling somebody a Chester as an insult, but not by comparing them to Chester the Cheetah. But I digress. So we started to get into the season of Survivor HHH. Little bit of a slow start with this cast, but we ended up having a lot of fun in the episode 3 voicemails when I was joined by my longtime friend, Johnny Fairplay, for the week 3 voicemails on October 16th. If you were not aware, Johnny Fairplay, one of the many survivors to start another podcast this year. That was a big trend in 2017, survivors starting podcasts. Johnny Fairplay started a podcast called Survival of the Fairest and came on and wanted to get the word out about his new venture. But I had to share with him that, I, full disclosure, it was not my favorite of all the new Survivor podcasts. This is Johnny Fairplay back on October 16th. Shout out to Matt Rubio for requesting this one.
And things like that.
And am I too late to the game, or is there? I mean, I don't consider us competition. So I just want to throw out the olive branch there. Like, you know, this isn't, you know, I'm going to steal your people, because, like, I haven't heard from Russell yet, but I'm pretty sure Russell hates me at this point.
Why? Because you got in on the Survivor podcast game?
Yeah, I don't see Russell, like, looking at it. You know, there ain't no more room.
Yeah.
People, They only have two ears. Rob's saying me. I got the other. You know, it's just like, well, doesn't Max and Corinne.
Yeah, look, there, Johnny Fairplay, there are so many Survivor podcasts that are out there. I mean, you can't get mad. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Is there that many Survivor podcasts?
You know, there are a lot. And I have to say that you and Conrad do a really fantastic job. I've listened to all three of the episodes and I love it. It's actually my second favorite new Survivor podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's number one?
Well, that there is a podcast out there from one of the survivors from Survivor Samoa has started up a podcast, and he's doing a really great job. Have you heard the Survivor Barbecue with Mike Barassi?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, Mike Barassi from Survivor Samoa. You don't remember him?
No.
Okay.
I remember Danger Dave. He was on Survivor Samoa.
He was on that. Well, let me play a clip from you. This is the all new podcast from Mike Barassi, Survivor Barbecue with Mike Barassi. Listen to this.
Sure.
Mike Barassi, and he got medevac. He's a mean motor scooter. He's here to podcast, serving up hot takes, freshly baked. So step right in and grab a plate for the it's the Survivor Barbecue.
Hey guys, this is Goose in Astoria. I want to introduce you a very close friend of mine, very dear. I've known him since I was 5. He's downtown from Chinatown. He's a real go-getter. You know he's a mean motor scooter. The great Mike Barassi.
Goose, who's better than you? Who's better than you? Don't ask his ex-wife, though, if you know what I'm saying, okay? All right, we got a lot to get to on the Survivor, Goose. But I gotta say, hand to God, this Survivor, it got so easy. They made it too easy. They made it too easy for them. It's too easy.
They're soft now, Goose.
They got soft. It's the third episode. Did you even see one medevac yet? Did anybody even get a medevac? Everybody's soft. Everything is soft except for the freaking potatoes. Did you see this one guy? He made a potato and he threw it in the jungle. I make a potato so good it make your head spin, Goose. You know, you had a potato.
I've had those. They make my head spin just thinking about it.
If I was out there, boy, Blondie would have forgotten all about coleslaw. And then this guy, Alvin, can't open a coconut?
These guys today, they're so soft. I can't even understand why they don't put more people like you who know what they're doing, who know how to play this game the way it was meant
to
be played.
But this is why they need to bring me back. This is why people don't watch the show, because they got to bring me back. I'd be opening up the coconuts like I had a Ginsu knife out there. I'm getting too worked up, Goose. All right, we got to take a break. I got to sit down. When we get back, I got a few things that I want to add in about this worm, Harvey Weinstein. If I ever ran into that guy in a dark alley, you know what I mean? That guy, he thinks he's in trouble now. And then I got a review of this movie, Hangover 2, that I just saw. Very funny movie. And then in hour number 4, I'm going to give you my recipe for a beer batter kielbasa. And then I'll tell you who was the mean motor scooter of the week and who was this week's barasshole when we come back.
Wow.
That's you and Ethan, right?
It's the Survivor Barbecue with Mike Barassi.
No way.
The new Survivor podcast.
That's you.
No, that's Mike Barassi.
That's
the real Mikey B. Mike Barassi from Survivor Samoa.
Please tell me that was you and Ethan.
No. You're wrong about that.
Okay, it sounds like you and Ethan. That can't be real.
And things like that.
Yeah, Johnny Fairplay had never heard of Mike Barassi's Survivor Barbecue, and he was really incredulous about the whole thing, which actually set up another great moment from that same podcast. Shout out to Ryan Mulhern for asking for this one. Here's Johnny Fairplay's other famous moment.
How did you do that?
Is that Mike thing, that's not real, right?
Mike Barassi, Survivor Barbecue?
Yes.
He's shooting up the iTunes charts right now as we speak.
I don't even want to search.
Survivor Barbecue.
I did like your guy, was it Tyler Weigert, the guy that did the thing going into this season?
Josh Wigler.
Josh Wigler, yeah.
Tyler Weigert.
Oh, Rob, as we mentioned earlier, there's about 1,800 too many podcasts out there. Have you heard the Raven Effect?
I heard it. I've been on it.
I know.
Why did you do that?
Great moment with Johnny Fairplay. We got a lot of mileage this season out of
Tyler Weigert.
Speaking of Tyler Weigert, it was a great season with Josh on The Wiggle Room that we said we were going to come into the season. We wanted to sort of shake it up. We said, okay, well, let's have guests this season on The Wiggle Room. We had a couple of guests to start off the season. What really ended up being the dramatic twist to The Wiggle Room this season was the implementation of the wand off. I'm going to institute a wand off trigger warning here right now because I'm going to play a clip from it. So you could probably skip ahead about 4 or 5 minutes if it's going to be something that will upset you. So we're going to play a clip from that and then we'll get back to it. Just one short clip of the wand off, if I may. So I'm going to play a clip that, you know, very hard to select one highlight from the wand off, but I would say probably the most talked about moment from the wand off this season ended up coming on November 20th when we had a submission, which there was some debate whether or not it should be allowed into the top five. And so here's a long distance dedication to Laurel Ann. Here's your most requested clip from November 20th. 2017 as part of the wand off.
Out of 3 desserts in 2 states. My bad.
I'm wondering now if anyone has ever referred to Otis Bushkowskis as a robbed G. Otis.
No, that's great.
Has that never happened?
Somebody get on Reddit right time? Now with that. Okay. Now this last entry.
Oh God. He's already laughing. I'm nervous.
This just missed being a finalist, but it was way over the time limit that we set out here for the wand off. So let me set it up and then we'll come back for the chorus.
Please tell me it's Rapper's Delight. Please tell me that it is a 15-minute wand off.
This is Adam.
Hello.
Triggering. Very triggering. Very triggering. We've already dropped at least one PG Law reference in here today.
Okay.
Ooh, oh my gosh.
So how am I supposed to get it was too long. This was like 2 minutes long, and so we'll just cut to the good part.
We kept in the douchey guy. Cause his social game, it sticks no lines. Well, we can't keep track of all the things that he's done, but when it adds to together, you'll piss off everyone. Yes, we kept the douchey guy, despite angering a step or five. And it's tough to tell you that for now he must stay, but let's be honest, cause Joe
they took Adele's beautiful song and turned it into We Kept in the Douchey Guy.
Is that what it was? We Kept in the Douchey Guy? I was too focused on like how genuinely beautiful that voice is. Like that was amazing. It is heartbreaking that this is DQ'd from the wand offs this week. Just for the size of the song.
It's over 2 minutes, too long.
My God, the chops. Oh, wow.
That's really the production quality of the wand off.
I'm not even kidding.
Risen
wow. I'm like actually floored by that. Like really just belting that out.
I was crying for We Kept in the Douchey Guy.
I didn't know that that's what it was. That's so good. That's so funny and so talented. Oh, my God. All right. Return to us. Right. Return to us for another wand off.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam.
Adam, like 30 seconds would be ideal. Yeah, ideally, 30 minute, seconds is yeah. you know, minute is okay.
I'll go a minute 15. I'll let it run. I'll let it run. 2 minutes.
Again. Yeah, but 2 minutes is DQ territory. Yeah. But you are a future wand off winner, sir. So please come back.
I'll out at 3 desserts in 2 states. My bad.
Well, we really opened ourselves up to a backlash after that one. People demanded that Adam be allowed into the wand off. We changed the ruling. We actually sent him ahead to the final wand off coming up soon. He ended up winning a wand off on his own. So all was right in the world. It all worked out. Joe Mena did a carpool karaoke about We Kept in the Douchey Guy. So it really ended up taking off on its own. The always controversial wand off. Let's talk about some other moments. And we actually have a lot from November and December here. I felt like that we got on a really great roll towards the second half of Survivor HHH. And so the same weekend of the wand off debacle, I talked with Brett LaBelle on the voicemails, and we talked about trying to adhere to the medical advice of Dr. Mike Zahalski. This was a clip requested by a couple of people. Shout out to Catherine Lucas for getting me the clip of this one. Here is Brett LaBelle from the week 8 voicemail. This is a important question. This is from one of our listeners who wants to know if you've been paying attention to one of the survivors on social media. Okay?
Yep. Hey, Brett and Rob. Hey, in honor of Movember, I had a question for you guys. I wanted to see if you guys saw Dr. Mike's sound advice about avoiding prostate cancer on Twitter the other day, and also wanted to see just how religiously you think we should follow. We'd love to hear your thoughts, guys. Thanks.
Okay. Brett, have you been following Dr. Mike closely on social media?
Yes, I do follow Dr. Mike, and Dr. Mike follows me. And I did share that story about the prostate cancer. It's very important for us men to stay on top
of
this kind
of thing. That I think that we should spread Dr. Mike's message to all the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Here is a very special announcement from Dr. Mike Zahalski.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Dr. Mike from Survivor here. So I got a question for you. If your mom walks in or your wife walks in and finds you masturbating, what do you say?
Wait, was this one of the voicemail questions?
What the hell was that? What are we talking about here? And what is he talking about?
Can you say, oh, I'm just preventing cancer? The answer is yes. Why? Because what we found is that the more you masturbate or the more you ejaculate in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, the less likely you are to have prostate cancer. You got to be ejaculating over 21 times a month, and then you decrease your chance of having prostate cancer by 20 to 33%. Good luck, guys out there.
Wait, why do I need luck?
Well, we all know that David Bright doesn't have cancer then. My God. No, I'm just kidding, David. David's actually seeing someone now. He's going to kill me if I say that. So, wow. So that's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a little different than what I shared on Twitter.
You
know?
21 times. Oh, my God.
Jeez, my God. I'd be exhausted.
Yeah. All right. Well, and then and that's not all, because Dr. Mike has a lot of important health tips for men out there. Here is another very special message from Dr. Mike Zahalski.
Yo, it's Dr. Mike from Survivor here. Let's talk about something serious. If you're going to stick something in your penis, make sure you can get it out. Like, why would you stick shards of glass in your penis? You can't get those out. If you're going to stick a phone cord in there, make sure you don't stick it all the way in there, because then the charger gets stuck in the bladder and you can't get it out and you have to come to me. Today we're taking out a twisty tie, stuck too far in there. Be careful, guys. Don't stick things in your penis. But if you do, make sure you can get it out. Otherwise, you know where to find me.
Now, I got to be honest right now. I've heard of a lot of fetishes in my lifetime, right? Being in the gay community. I have never in my life heard of anyone that puts anything there. Okay. That is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I'm like doubled over in pain just thinking about it. I don't even think you need to announce that. Do you, Rob? I think that goes without saying. I mean, oh my God. Like if I ever had to go to one of these doctors and they wanted to, you know, they check and they do whatever. I'm like, get that. You're not doing that. Like who the hell wants to go? But that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I need another beer, Rob. Can I have a break?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, you need.
But anyway, go ahead. What?
Yeah, I don't know why the phone charger.
The phone charger. Who are these people that are his patients? My God, I mean, it's just insane, you know.
Right. Could Dr. Mike potentially be doing more public service announcements for Men at Large? For instance, could he do a public service announcement, something like, "Hey guys, Dr. Mike from Survivor back, and I got just the tip that guys need for owning a penis. If you've been paying attention to the news lately, never show your penis to somebody who hasn't given you permission. There's lots of repercussions, and it's a very bad thing to do."
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Mike with a new message. Don't be slamming your penis in the garage door every day. That's no. I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, does anyone really need these? Like, I mean, he's losing me on the last
look. I think he started in the right place. I think. Yeah. But again, who are we to say? He's the guy going in with, "Hey, Dr. Mike, we got another twist tie.
Hey, everyone, it's Dr. Mike from Survivor. Don't be sticking your penis in the garbage disposal and turning it on." I mean, I love it. I think it's all self-explanatory, but what a funny guy he is. That's great.
He's the best. He's the best, Dr. Mike. Ah! Dr. Mike would continue and hopefully will continue for some time to give us more medical advice on Twitter, and we will be here to follow it all. Brett LaBelle, I got so much positive feedback from Brett LaBelle on the podcast this season. Just a great podcast guest and a great guy. People loved seeing him as well at the Austin Know-It-Alls. He introed us. People also requested him asking his question about Star Trek at the end of the Big Brother Canada finale. So he did a lot of great stuff on the podcast in 2017. But there's another guy who we heard from him earlier in the podcast, and I was thinking about lumping these two moments together, but I wanted to keep things in chronological order. So on December 2nd, Bryce Isaiah was back on the voicemail podcast. This might be maybe the most requested clip that I got from you guys. And I'll give the credit to Nathan Meesum, who wants to hear Bryce Isaiah talk about his daughter from December 2nd, 2017.
Okay, well, we got a game for you too.
Ben ain't doing nothing new. Like, and so that is kind of like, I have a love-hate relationship with Devin, okay? Can I talk about Devin real quick?
You can talk about whatever you want.
Okay, thank you. Because here's my issue with Devin. First of all, you know, Devin is a little easy on the eyes after you get past his long look. But, you know, he got like a long look. Like when I look at him on the TV, I got to look from the side. Not that I'm not happy with the look, but it's just a long look.
What do you mean you have to look from the side?
Like Devin has a long look, Rob. He's no, just
I get
like,
that. What do you mean? Like you like tilt your head because, 90 degrees?
Yeah, he's so tall. Like it's hard, like it hurts to look at him straight on. So I had to like turn my head a little bit to the left and look down because he's so like, you know, just I just want to make sure I see everything. Okay. So I am like so confused because, you know, this episode that I seen of Devin, he's like so cocky. And it's just like, boo-boo, what have you done so far? Because like my knowledge is that you just been making it along. And now all of a sudden, because you in the winner's circle and you can communicate with my daughter, Lauren, and that, yes, we're going to get into that later. But, like, you know, it's like me having, a, like, I don't know. I just feel like Devin is getting real comfortable and all of a sudden he making moves. Baby, you're not making moves. You're just like having conversations with people and all of a sudden like you coming up with, but so I don't want to seem like I'm hating because he is like how it seems on TV. He really is like, you know, he set himself up to be in these positions where he can have this conversation with, Ben and with daughter Lauren.
I want to talk about your daughter.
Daughter! Yes.
And I love this so much because the last time we talked, you talked about Suri, who was your mother.
Yes, that's mother. Okay, now we got it. And it's not in. Okay, here we go again. You know, I got to teach you something again, Rob. Okay. It's not daughter. Okay.
Yes.
It's daughter! Daughter! Okay? It's a couple more.
Yell it or is it?
You don't have to yell it. Yeah!
I don't have a daughter.
You have a daughter, okay? Her name is Lauren. That's daughter! Okay? You gotta add a couple more U's in there.
Daughter!
So,
like people from Long Island say, water!
Yes.
Okay, well, we got a game for you too.
Bryce could just come in and be my podcast coach. Teach me to say all these different things. Got to get him in here. I feel like the show could really take off after that. We were really on fire with the feedback show towards the end of the season. I had the great first lady of podcasting in here on December 7th to talk about what was going on in Survivor HHH. And we ended up getting into Nicole had a dream about that if she was on Survivor, and it was a very elaborate dream where not only did she go and play and get voted out, but she also then was doing her exit press in her dream. And so we decided, what would that look like, Nicole doing her exit press? Here is Nicole Sesternino from December 7th. Shout out to Matt Holtzclaw for picking out this moment. Here is Nicole.
Should we just church this up?
It was it was very elaborate.
Yes. Okay. So you're doing the exit. And so were you in the studio when I was doing the exit interview with you?
No, it was at the bottom of the stairs on the phone.
Okay.
Calling in.
You were calling in.
Yes.
All right. I guess I wouldn't get like special treatment over, I guess, like Dalton Ross.
I guess
it
would make much more sense. But in my dream, I was at the bottom of the stairs but the door was closed.
All right. Well, here, let's do the exit interview right now. All right. We have Nicole on the line. Nicole, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Nicole, we are so disappointed to see you. Ultimately, I was counting on that money, frankly.
But come on, you did not see this coming.
All right, Nicole, well, let's get into everything from the show. First one out. I know that's always a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, but I mean, really, I shouldn't have been there.
Now, interestingly enough, you found the hidden immunity idol on day one, which would have put you in a good spot. You decided at the tribal council to have the hidden immunity idol hump one of the torches, and then you dropped it into the fire at tribal council.
Yeah, it's weird because that worked one time in my Instagram stories.
Yeah. Now, you also commented on a number of the different players on your tribe's bulges. Do you feel like in hindsight that that was a good idea or that made your other tribe members feel uncomfortable?
No, it was kind of my voting strategy. It was to vote based on the bulge.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you didn't get to see that come into play.
Now, we saw during the episode a number of times your tribe mates were openly conspiring about you while you were sleeping in the shelter the entire time. Did you ever consider getting up to go and talk to the different people that were talking about you?
You know, hindsight's 2020. Maybe it would have been a good idea to not sleep so much. But on the other hand, I do so much better when I am asleep, when I get rest. So, you know, it was a lose-lose.
We saw you get into a screaming match with Jeff Probst at the tribal council, which we've never seen before on Survivor.
You know, he sometimes during the challenges, he is so annoying with his commentary. And that's really, you know, it just grades on you.
You also were the first player removed from the game for actually striking someone. You didn't actually even get voted out of the game. You physically assaulted a player at Tribal Council.
Because he told me I was momming him.
All right, well,
I warned him. I said, call me mom one more time.
Well, Nicole, I'm sorry. I know you have a lot of interviews to get to today, but thank you so much for coming on with us. Looking forward to seeing you at the finale.
I'm looking forward to seeing you at dinner.
Okay. All right. Everybody, there you have it. Nicole Sesternino, first player voted out of Survivor spouses. All right, so maybe it doesn't go so great.
No.
Should we just church this up?
All right, there you go. Nicole on the voicemails. I feel like that would be very fun to see Nicole on Survivor one day. I mean, I hope that they would let me podcast about it, but I think that would be just a joy for all of us to get to watch. One more clip from you guys from the voicemails from this December. I had the best time with Mike Bloom a couple of weeks ago where we had a almost 2.5 hour plus voicemail podcast, which I think was really the craziest podcast that I ever did. We got into so many different things, but the moment that was the most requested from this show happens to be when Mike and I got to talk to the titular character from that week of Survivor, the Survivor Devil, on December 18th. Shout out to Brent the Shower Man for requesting this clip. Here is Mike and I with the Survivor Devil. Well, Mike, I'm glad that you brought this
up. I brought up the devil.
I'm glad you brought this up because yes. So let's go from talking about the church. This
should we just church this up?
No, we're gonna stop churching this up because the name of this episode this week was the Survivor Devil, and I didn't really know a lot about the Survivor Devil coming into this episode. This was the quote from Devin at the start of the episode.
Coming back to camp after Tribal, I felt like if they're Survivor gods, then that was a move by the Survivor Devil. That was messed up.
That was messed up, and that idol play from the last episode, that was a move. In fact, it turns out that that was created by the Survivor Devil. And, you know, we have a great opportunity on this podcast today. We've had a lot of great guests on this podcast in the history of RHAP. And this is a little bit unprecedented, Mike, but we are actually going to be joined today, you and I, two members of the Survivor Press Corps, for the first time that we have an exclusive interview here with the Survivor Devil, who is calling in. Sorry to spring this on you, Mike. Let's patch him in. Here's the Survivor Devil.
I didn't realize he came with music.
It's the phone. It's the devil's phone. It's the phone. It's the phone.
It's the devil's
phone.
It's the phone.
It's the phone.
It's the devil's
phone. It's the phone.
It's the phone.
It's the devil's
phone.
Survivor Devil, are you there?
Hello, Rob and Mike. Let me just first say, Mike Bloom, I'm a huge fan of yours.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
I can't wait until you're down here with me, Mike. I've got a whole idea for 1,000 other podcasts that we can do. The B&B Bloom and Beelzebub.
Boy. Well, it'll be a cold day in hell until that happens, though that also deterred my co-host from flying out. So you may need to be a last-minute sub on that one, too.
Survivor Devil, everybody was very impressed with the work that you did last week with Ben's idol play. Could you tell us about some of the other things that you have been responsible for in Survivor history?
So many different things, Rob. For one, I was the one that came up with the twist to send two tribes to tribal council, and Malcolm got voted out. Bloom, I know you love that
I'm a big fan of that one. you got a fan in that one, in that perspective, Survivor Devil. That's one in your court.
Also, this season, I was the one that came up with the name Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers.
Whoa, oh my God.
Whoa. Survivor Devil, I didn't realize you loved alliteration so much.
Oh my devil.
Also, did we experience, was that your ring back tone, Survivor Devil? Are you from the year like 2008?
I have a flip phone.
Okay, a Motorola Razr. Well, Survivor Devil, how long have you been around? Have you done stuff since like the beginning of the series?
No, I came on in the second season. My first appearance was that I actually pulled Mike Scoopin into the fire with me. He's a good friend of mine.
That also makes sense.
Just talk to him briefly. Bend his ear for a minute.
Oh boy,
my favorite player. That guy, he's the best. Love that guy.
That's in the Survivor Devil Hall of Fame. Absolutely, he was on your ballot.
It's on my ballot.
Well, Survivor Devil, how do you feel about your name being invoked so many times? I mean, Devin said it this time. I think Joe was talking about Ben playing with the devil. Let's be honest here. Survivor Devil, have you been possessing Ben Driebergen and using him to make all these crazy moves in the game?
Yes, I've actually been working with him closely this season. That's why he wanted to, I could tell you, that's why he wanted to church this up. He was trying to lose me.
So that's what church this up means, to dispel the Survivor Devil spirit within you?
You tried to exercise me. Yeah, that was not going to happen, though.
Yeah, you need an old priest and a young priest. You can only find that in Survivor Nicaragua.
I'm also thinking about starting my own Survivor podcast as well. I don't know if I can wait for you, Bloom. It's called the Survivor Devil's Diner. We're gonna get that started next season.
Well, you're gonna bring Guy Fieri down there to help you out.
Love that guy, Fieri.
That also makes a lot of sense.
Fieri is fire in Italian.
You, Guy Fieri, and Mike Scoopin traveling around hell trying all sorts of samples. It all makes sense to me.
Also, I just want to say that I hate the wand off. I want that wand off to end. I'm the guy that's been complaining every week about the wand off.
Survivor Devil, really, that you don't like?
No, it's too long. I wouldn't have a problem with it if it was at the end of the podcast, but I feel like the wiggle room was much better last year. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of Shut Up Tim, but...
Well, Survivor Devil, with all due respect, I mean, you are in the business of torture. Shouldn't something, the idea of something torturing you, shouldn't you have some sort of baseline respect for that?
No, I'm very busy. I have so many different things to get to, so many different podcasts to listen to and post about. I post all over. I'm actually an admin on the Survivor Facebook group as well. That's one of my responsibilities.
So wait, are those all these Survivor casuals that post on there that we have a really fun time at on the B&B? I don't know if we can do it in the B&B 2.0, but are you implying that like those are your, I don't know, your demons, your like personal minions wreaking havoc, talking about their opinions on Joey Amazing?
Just that I have a bot army on the Survivor Facebook group, and all of the ideas that I come up with, I keep them all going and liking and talking about all the things that I did well, so I keep having more clout in the Survivor writers room.
Oh wow.
Survivor Devil, how do you feel about the Survivor gods names being invoked as well? Are you like a, you know, Satan was a fallen angel, even though I'm churching it up just a tiny bit. Are you in a similar way? Were you a former Survivor god that lost his way?
That's a great question, Mike. No, I was not ever the Survivor god. You know, the Survivor god is very busy, but I am actually the god of Big Brother OTT. So that is the truth about that. I came up with that. And I'm actually working on Survivor OTT right now.
Oh, God. What's going to be in it?
We're going to have the Facebook page vote in all of the different survivors and then let them control what happens every week. It's going to be really exciting. That's coming in 2018.
Oh, boy. Well,
it's also on CBS All Access. That was also my idea.
Were you the one that wrote the rule book that Chrissy went through so meticulously?
Yes.
Your Bible? That's your Bible?
That is my Bible, the Big Brother OTT rule book.
All right, Survivor Devil, we're running out of time. We have so many different things to get through with Mike Bloom. Any other parting words you want to tell us about?
Yes, get Rupert back on Twitter. Rob, I'm thinking about becoming a patron. I'd really like to see that happen.
All right, thank you so much, Survivor Devil.
Bloom, keep up the good work. I'll see you soon, okay?
Hopefully not too soon, Survivor Devil.
Bloom and Beelzebub 2019. Mark it down, okay?
And shout out to my boy T-Dub on Twitter. Go New York Yankees. Love the Stanton trade. Rack me. I'm out.
There you have it. It's the Survivor Devil, everybody.
Phone. It's the phone. It's the devil's phone. It's the phone.
Mostly positive feedback on the podcast for the Survivor Devil after that episode went up. I did get a tweet from somebody who was very angry, who they fell asleep listening to the podcast and woke up in a panic listening to the Survivor Devil's ringtone. But that was a lot of fun from that podcast back on December 18th. And that's basically the year in crazy on Rob Has a Podcast. I do actually have one more moment to play on the podcast, but this one actually is not from the podcast proper. This is actually a moment from the Patron 5 for 5. That's one of the podcasts that I do in the patron-only podcast feed for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And in that patron podcast feed, I do a couple of different shows. I do a monthly call-in show, which is the patron cast proper. I do a weekly show with the First Lady of Podcasting, the Patron 5 for 5, where we answer a bunch of different questions from the listeners and talk about different, you know, behind the scenes or things that are going on in our life. And then also I do a Facebook call-in show on Fridays where we do a video chat and people can call in and ask me questions. But on December 11th, there was one moment that really took a turn, and it pertains to the aforementioned Dr. Mike Zahalski, who ended up tweeting something and at replying Nicole in his tweet. And I got a chance to ask Nicole why she was on this tweet in particular. This is from the Patron 5 for 5. And for many of you, this will be a new clip from December 11th, 2017. Here is the 5 for 5. Albert Vargas demanded this clip be in there. So here you go, Albert.
Sister Nino's out there.
Finally, number 5.
Number 5.
This is a reaction to a tweet. Of course, so much love pouring in on social media from Nicole's appearance on the voicemail podcast.
Not enough. Not enough.
But one tweet in particular really caught the eye tonight. Nicole was at mentioned by one of the current Survivor contestants, Dr. Mike Zahalski, the social media mogul. Dr. Mike tweeted, but 1 hour ago before we recorded this podcast, he said, experts say that today is the most popular day to get pregnant. !! Have fun tonight. Winky face. Remember to follow my PSAs at the expert at Nicole says what hashtag sex expert.
Why is he tweeting me this?
Yeah. What does Dr. Mike know about you that you were at mentioned in this tweet about today? December 11th is the most popular day to get pregnant.
I mean, he could have tweeted me earlier. I could have freshened up.
Yes. Coincidentally, today, December 11th, is also the day that I got voted out on day 38 of Survivor the Amazon. So it would not be the first time that I got on this day.
I was not expecting that.
Okay?
I'm kind of speechless.
All right.
That will not be happening. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Spoiler on that one. Then also, Dr. Mike goes on to add.
There's more?
I guess people are asking him why. Why is December 11th the most popular day that people are getting pregnant? And so the answer there is... probably the holidays, weather, and drinking, not necessarily in that order. And he also goes on to add, the article I read says it's cold and wet outside, but what's free and warm? Sex.
So I guess so for whatever reason, Dr. Mike is saying that here we are, December 11th. This is the day when, you know, it's the most basic day for people to get, so cliche, for people to get pregnant on this day. They go to these Christmas parties, they come home,
they drink too much eggnog,
all drunk, and then, you know, have all of these children that were not planned for on this day, on December 11th. It would be fun, I think, though, if we figured out, like, what is exactly 9 months from today? If we could figure out what that day would be.
It's like in August.
Would it not be your birthday?
You think my parents did it in December because my dad got drunk? Well, that could have happened any day. Yeah,
September? September, or is it August?
No, we did it in January and had a September baby.
Okay, easy.
Actually, I think it was December.
Bad news for anybody with birthdays in the beginning of August.
No, I think it might be September.
September, okay. Yeah.
Because I think we did it at the end of December.
So your birthday, September 10th, would be, well, let's count the months here.
So you're saying that my parents had sex
on the most popular day of the year.
25 years ago?
On December 11th. Were you early or late?
I was a day late.
Okay, 25 years ago. Yeah. Okay. So what is it? So December to January, January to February, February to March, March to April, April to May, May to June, June to July, July to August, August to September. So you're that's why you're in the tweet.
My life.
You were a Christmas party baby.
No, my dad just was a drunk.
But that was the day he was probably the most drunk.
The sanitation department Christmas party.
Well, it was all. I think that the connective tissue here, in more ways than one, is that your mom was probably drunk too.
She's not a very nice drunk.
See? That's why Dr. Mike knew. He probably looked up your birthday, and that's why he was tweeting to you.
I am so horrified right now. I have to end the podcast right now.
See? It all comes full circle.
Now I can't even respond to him.
Yeah, just respond to him and say, yes, I know. That's how I was born. That's how I was conceived. Happy holidays. All right. Be careful out there, everybody. Okay. Nicole, what's the hashtag today?
I can't think of anything right now. This show is over.
Hashtag holiday baby. Santa baby. That's, and your mom likes that song, right? Santa baby.
No, no.
And that's why you love the holidays so much.
I hate Christmas now. I hate it.
Boy, too bad this wasn't the voicemail podcast. Patrons got a good one.
Yeah. I'm going to go in my room and cry and lock the door.
Okay. All right. Well, Nicole, we had so much fun here tonight.
No, we didn't.
Yes. I also have a direct message from Dr. Mike at this hour.
Oh, boy. Is it a recent one?
Yeah. So right after he tweeted that to you, he said, you can tell Nicole my kids and their friends follow me on Insta, so I am tame there. So I guess...
I am not going to be friends with him on anything. He just ruined my life.
I'm not sure. I don't know if he said that. Did you say that you were afraid that there would be like inappropriate photos? I feel like that would be positive for you.
I don't know what happened prior to 5 minutes ago.
Okay. All right. You're having a blackout.
Yes.
Much like your parents did.
I'm realizing I'm the Santa baby.
ancestor Nino's out there.
All right, and there you have it, 2017. If you want to find out more about becoming a patron and listen to more shows like that, you can always visit our Patreon page at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for making this a great year of podcasting. I just really feel like we were firing on all cylinders towards the end of 2017, and I'm so excited to keep it going into 2018 between The Amazing Race and everything coming up with Celebrity Big Brother before we get into Survivor. Very spooky Ghost Island coming up. I'm sure we'll also do some Survivor postseason content as well. So I'm sure we will have no shortage of things to talk about in 2018. Thank you again so much for allowing me to be part of your week. I'm having so much fun doing the podcast right now. And again, I'm so excited to keep it going in the new year. Hope you have a very happy new year. Please don't drink and drive this New Year's Eve. Please be very careful if you're going to be out there on the road. I need all of you guys back safe and sound in 2018. Thanks again for listening to all this nonsense, both today and all year round. Have a good one, everybody. Take care, and I'll see you in 2018.